So here is a letter that's going to blow our minds away. Dear Mom and Dad, from the parent of a college co-ed. Dear Mom and Dad, since I left for college, I've been remiss in writing, and I'm really sorry for the thoughtlessness and not having written before. I'll bring you up to date now, but before you read on, please sit down. You're not to read any further unless you're sitting down, okay? Well, I'm getting along pretty well now. The skull fracture and the concussion I got when I jumped out of the window of my dormitory when it caught on fire shortly after my arrival is pretty well healed now. I only spent 2 weeks in the hospital, and now I can almost see normally and only get those sick headaches once a day. Fortunately, the fire in the dormitory and my jump was witnessed by an attendant at the gas station near the dorm, and he was the one who called the fire department and the ambulance. He also visited me in the hospital, and since I had nowhere to live because of the burned out dormitory, he was kind enough to invite me to share his apartment with him. It's really a basement room, but it's kind of cute. He's a very fine boy, and we have fallen deeply in love and are planning to get married. We haven't got the exact date yet, but it will be before my pregnancy begins to show. Yes, Mom and Dad, I'm pregnant. I know how much you're looking forward to being grandparents, and I know you'll welcome the baby and give it the same love and devotion and tender care you gave me when I was a child. The reason for the delay in our marriage is that my boyfriend has a minor infection which prevents us from passing our premarital blood test, and I carelessly caught it from him. Now that I brought you up to date, I want to tell you that there was no dormitory fire. I did not have a concussion or skull fracture. I was not in the hospital. I'm not pregnant. I'm not engaged. I'm not infected, and there is no boyfriend. However, I am getting a D in American history and an F in chemistry, and I want you to see those marks in their proper perspective. Your loving daughter, Sharon. Sharon may be getting a failing mark in chemistry, but she gets an A in psychology. Okay, I like that story. What's that story teaching us about the power of perspective and gratitude in terms of our what tool is this teaching about how to tap into to gratitude and thankfulness?
So you can always think like the positive word.
Right, or as we call it, the contrast principle. This is a very vivid example of that. Contrast your situation to how bad it really could be, and that's a great way of tapping in to gratitude and thankfulness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, granted, I wouldn't try this like when someone else is going through a hard time. Don't be like, yeah, but it could be worse. That's just annoying and nobody wants to hear that. They're looking for empathy. But on a good day, what you can do when everything's okay is imagine if everything really, really went wrong and terrible. Imagine the worst things that can happen and then be like, thank God. That didn't happen, right? Or if you can, when you're going through a bad day, think about how much worse it really could be. And that is definitely one way of tapping into gratitude for whatever situation we're in. Yeah? Okay. So with that little cute introduction, I want to talk about modern studies that have been done to show us the power of gratitude and to maybe deepen, to go a little deeper in what, how gratitude can enhance our happiness in life. Yeah.
Can we do like a test on this thing of how it could be worse? Because like I feel a little bit different. This morning I was upset that I hadn't got this other car license. Then I realized, you know what, it doesn't matter, I've got a car that's like this. What is actually going to do there? I was like, damn, things are not working so easily in Israel. Like, they're sending me all over the place. They don't even know their own systems. Like, what's going on? Like, I really want this car license now. Like, it's not working.
You did exactly right. You did the optimistic, the half his cup full option to, instead of dwelling on the negative, you dwelled on the positive and felt grateful for the good blessings in your life instead of the negative.
I know where I'm going. I don't feel ridiculous.
Right. And thank God some people are blessed with the ability to do that. And other people struggle with that, but it can be learned. Like, all, you know, it can be learned optimism and it can be learned thankfulness. And that is one of the reasons we're doing this year, to remind ourselves the importance of this practice every single day. Okay. So I want to talk about a very famous study done by Robert Emmons, who's wrote a book called Thanks, and he's one of the, if not the, expert on gratitude from an academic perspective. Okay? And I'll send you guys some TED Talks and videos that he gives over the course of the week. And what he did is study in depth gratitude letters. It's a very tangible, scientific way of measuring the effects of being grateful. And in his first study, he took three groups. One group was told every single day to write five things that they are grateful for. The other group was told five things that they were displeased about. And the other group was told to write just five neutral events. And what was revealed was that those who participated in the gratitude condition had a far better happiness and, in general, viewed their lives much better after a very short intervention. After just doing this, and either he did different styles, sometimes it was 3 weeks, sometimes it was 6 weeks, sometimes it was 12 weeks, different, sometimes it was every day, sometimes it was twice a week. But the point was that in the first study, 25% more gratitude simply by taking a few minutes every day and writing down what you're grateful for. So if you're still following with me on the source sheets, guys, did I give you the second F? Okay. Yitzchak will share with Yitzchak the seventh page. Okay. So that's Robert Emmons, that guy, and that's the 25%, okay? Because 25% more happiness simply by writing down what you're happy about, okay? We're going to go a little deeper into how to make this most effective gratitude journaling at the end, okay? But that's the first study that says it all. Just a few minutes of gratitude and 25% more happy. Now, what are these nuns doing here? What are they? They seem happy. So there was a longitudinal study, which means they took nuns and they had them write journals, and they looked at their whole lives. It took 50 years to do this study, and basically, again, what they discovered is that those nuns who were grateful in their journals had a much higher, lived longer, less diseases, just every part of their life was much more blessed. We'll go through the specifics, but that's the nun study, okay, because it took 50 years. What are the little kids? Why do we have smiling, happy kids?
Because I don't know any better.
I don't know any, that's true. That's also true. But Robert Emmers has started doing these studies on kids. And what they've discovered is that even in the classroom, 6th and 7th graders, when they write what they're grateful for every day, they get better grades. They report happier, about 10% increase. And this can be practiced at a young age. We can start educating our children to be grateful, and it has a very tangible effect. Okay? Talking about the tangible effects of gratitude, let's run through some of the advantages, physiological and psychological, of expressing gratitude. Did you know gratitude, we're up to this page, will eliminate stress, rewires your brain, can heal a person from traumas. People who practice gratitude heal better both psychologically and even physiologically. This is a beautiful one. Improves your sleep. Especially if you do gratitude journaling right before you go to bed, that's why you got the cute little baby. Not only do you sleep longer, but the quality of your sleep is actually better when people are practicing gratitude journaling. Okay, boosts self-esteem, you feel better about yourself, and enhances the law of attraction, improves relationships. Now that's an interesting one, but it's also kind of obvious. Why would expressing gratitude improve my relationships more?
Because it improves the relationship. It's
personal. So first of all, obviously, if I'm going over to someone and I'm expressing gratitude, they're going to feel more nicely about me. Right? They're going to like me better. It also is training a person to look for the good. And then when that person's, if your goal, if you know at the end of the day you have to express, here it's fine. If you know at the end of the day, you have to, it's fine. Yeah, so the printing, Baruch Hashem, is still a work in progress. But if you know at the end of the day that you're going to be having to write a gratitude list, so you're looking for opportunities to be thankful, and then you start being just a more happy, positive guy to be around. Who do you want to be around? The guy who's always complaining, or the guy who's always looking for the good in this situation?
That one.
Right?
The one that brings out positivity and ideas. And
I have to say, on my personal rationalization, justification for taking time out of the base medrash and playing a lot of ultimate frisbee is twofold. One, it makes me very happy and is very healthy. But two, I view it as my job to be as happy and positive as possible on the frisbee field, to counteract all the negative arguing, complaining people energy, so I can lift everyone up with positivity. And I think that works pretty well. So, Daniel, you do it all the time. For sure, that's who you are. It's a mission. So it improves relationships, okay? I didn't mention it, but there was another study which I saw where people who actually were going through a really hard time in life were asked to write a letter every day for a week or so to someone to express their gratitude or to personally meet them and express gratitude. And there too, there were huge effects in a person's happiness in life. When they were looking to see the good, of course, on our relationship with other people, social interactions, but even in your mind, when you start training your brain to look for the good, it really can change everything. Okay? Now, again, going a little deeper, why? Why is this? Because when your mind cannot think two things at the same time, so when your mind is engaging in gratitude, happiness, it doesn't have time to engage in jealousy, for example. It doesn't make sense. If I'm really truly grateful for everything in my life, if I'm blessing God for everything, how does that work with being angry and upset and jealous? So the toxic emotions don't have space to go into our brain if we surround our mind and ourselves with gratitude.
Do we have a song for Korach HaTov or something?
We have many. Tov Lehodot LaHashem is one example.
I'm just looking for something to hang on to remember.
Yes.
For the good.
We're gonna at the end of the day, we're gonna, as always, tag all of this onto a very practical way of making this happen. But it's good that you're already thinking ahead and thinking of songs to make it work. It's beautiful. So that's why we got the toxic thing. No toxic emotions if there's gratitude in your life, and focus on the good stuff. Right? As my good friend Eitan used to teach me, flies look for the junk. They look for the dirt, and bees look for the honey. Be a bee. Okay? Look for the good stuff and focus on the good stuff. Because, moving on with the next page, when you focus on the good stuff, you magnify the good stuff. You appreciate the value when you appreciate. Because it's simple. If I just, randomly am hungry and I see a watermelon and I chop it down as I'm watching TV, my happiness level is like a 3 from this watermelon. But if I look at it, I bless God. I smell it. I watch a YouTube video about how watermelons are grown. And then I dig in. I'm magnified. The pleasure that's going into my brain by focusing, and my pleasure will be a 9. So instead of getting rich and spending millions of dollars on new yachts, let's get rich and focus and magnify the blessings in our life. You know, sometimes it's a great way also to be on a diet. Instead of only focusing, I'm going to eat less, I'm going to eat longer. I'm just going to take triple as long to eat my salad, and I probably won't even be hungry by the time I get to the end of the salad. Or your chopsticks. So that's another reason why it works so well, is because it we magnify the blessing in our life. As we mentioned, it trains our brain to look for the good, and what else did I say? And also biologically, it lowers your blood pressure. I'm forgetting, but I can send you guys some of the studies. There's longer life, dealing with anxiety in life. Kids are lots of psychological and physiological advantages when we are expressing gratitude. Okay, a few quotes, and then I want to get a little practical. George Keith Chesterton said, and this is on your little source sheet, "I would maintain that thanks is the highest form of thought, and that gratitude is happiness doubled by wonder. It's to be surprised, to be curious, and this is the highest type of thought that our minds can tap into." Sometimes people say, "Yeah, you're just an optimist, you're being naive," but the truth is, it's the highest thought. It's opening us up to divinity, and the more you express it, the more you open yourself up for blessing in your life, and more healing comes down to your life. Okay. One more point I actually really, really want to stress this. Rav Jonathan Sacks has a beautiful book. And in it's called Celebrating Life. It's all about this concept, how religion is all about gratitude. And he talks about his advice that he gives under the wedding canopy to couples. I think it's beautiful advice. And this is what he says. He says, "If you want one piece of advice that I will give you to help your marriage flourish, it's that you should have customs of gratitude towards each other. It could be a gratitude book. Could be maybe on Shabbos you talk about what you're grateful to each other. It could be every single day. Depends on what you prefer. But to inculcate gratitude as part of marriage is the depth of marriage, because it's teaching us to see the good in the other, to be on the same team, to actively look for what's good in our life. Sometimes people say, well, why should I express gratitude? I know what's good in my life. And the answer is, that's like saying, why should I eat the watermelon? I could just look at the watermelon. Because you don't get anything about knowledge. Knowledge doesn't help us. Actively training your brain to look for the good in our life and then express the good in our life, that's the juice of life. Just knowing it intellectually is doesn't help us very much.
Yeah, because also like in a relationship,
there's going to be things that are going to be bothering you, which is why you smooth that out by having a 5-to-1 ratio at least of good things, of positive words, of happiness, of kind words. And then once in a while, when you need a little bit of constructive criticism, the other side can handle it because they're feeling good about each other in the relationship. But when it's too much negativity and criticism, then there's no, the relationships can't flourish.
Negativity and criticism can come without saying anything. It could be a look, it could be just an attitude, it could be something that I'm done.
Absolutely. It's not about the word of gratitude either. Just bring it. It's about being genuine. It's not about a list. It's that actually feeling and looking and dwelling and meditating on the blessing. In terms of what you're saying, we're going to have a whole shiur on social interactions and the simcha of relationships. But that, we'll talk about it. But I want to keep focus on gratitude. Okay. Beautiful. Now that we've talked a lot about gratitude and the psychological benefits of gratitude, I'm going to move us to one more set of studies. And that is the benefits of journaling. Okay? So here you guys some more source sheets. I know you guys you need some folders by the end of all this. All these source sheets. Sorry, Mr. Trees, but I know you guys will teach these courses, so it's worth it. Okay, so here's my very abstract, wordless. Yeah, exactly. It's worth it. It's worth it. Mamish. So I'm going to take the next 10 minutes, not too long, to talk about some of the benefits of journaling. Okay? Because as you can probably guess, where we're going is towards an exercise in gratitude journaling. Okay? So we talked about what's good about gratitude, but why do I need a journal? Maybe I prefer expressing gratitude, thinking it to myself. What is the benefits of journaling in general? And this is also relevant to what we've started to do with writing goals every day. Like, why? Why bother?
Out of the head onto the paper.
Excellent. I think that's definitely... Right, exactly. And I think that's the third source. Look at the third source. You see how it's a big mishkababble?
Yeah.
So that's our brains a lot of the time, right? Especially when we're tension. But then you write it down, it gets out of our brain, we can get to a place of beautiful harmony, a beautiful clarity. Okay, so it gets it off of, out of our brains, and brings us to clarity. You look in the second page, it's even more clear. Person's really confused. But when we put things in paper, it brings us clarity. I heard once someone say, he never makes a big decision in life unless he writes it down first. Because only once he's processed through writing does he actually feel like it's true. And I actually tried to steal that because I'm the same way. I really need to write.
To
talk it out. Exactly, if someone's around. But journaling is the first step to getting clarity in your thoughts. Excellent. What else? What else are some advantages, psychological advantages of journaling?
You prevent forgetting things.
You can reread as many times as you want.
Okay, so you're talking about on a practical level. If I write down the notes, then I'm going to remember it when I reread the notes before the test. Or if you're like me, you write notes and then throw them away and never read them again because someone else probably wrote better notes. But why do I bother writing the notes? Because actively writing is drilling it into my brain. I'm writing it into my brain and helping my brain process the information through that writing. And, I have some articles about the biology of it all. Basically, we have left part of the brain, we have right part of the brain, and when you're journaling, you're accessing a different part of your brain that you wouldn't necessarily access if you're thinking and even if you're speaking. There's a part of your brain which becomes accessed dafka through the act of writing. This is also why it's better to write than to type, if possible, because writing is, we're wired for so many years of writing that's what helps bring the clarity a little bit more than typing things out. Yeah.
I think just copying something that's already written down doesn't have the same effect as trying to put into words.
Exactly. Of course. Because what's missing if you're just copying? You're active. And that's the second source. Be active, which is the essence of everything in life. If you're not being active, if you're not thinking, your brain's not involved, so it doesn't really get much about it. It's like you're not doing the push-ups, you're not getting the exercise. You gotta go through the motions of thinking and processing and writing and rewriting for yourself in order for your brain to remember and in order for your brain to gain clarity.
My exercise schedule has changed. I do that, like walking around, doing enough exercise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe at the end, if we have time, we can discuss. Now that we have so many goals. Prioritizing which ones we want to focus on and whatnot. But it's a good thing we should talk about. Okay, I just want to get through some more benefits of journaling. You see this guy? This guy, I think, says it all.
Let it all out.
Let it all out. Sometimes.
Let it all out.
The screaming and shouting work.
Let it all out.
The Bob Smolish. Yes, so we've all definitely have times. And you just got to go on the rooftop and scream. But sometimes journaling is another great way, safer way, people don't scream at you as much, of getting it all out. And it really helps get rid of like 50% of the pain just to write it in paper for at least a lot of people. And the famous letter of Lincoln, which where he wrote that he was so frustrated at his commander that that he didn't attack the other people. He had them cornered, and he didn't. It is in How to Win Friends and Influence People, right? And he writes this really angry letter, and he never sent the letter. He put in his, they found it in his office, because he let it all out. But then he realized if I send it, you know, it's not going to do any good. Yeah, and I think probably a lot of us have had this experience. You write it, and then you erase the email. Or maybe you send the email and you regret it.
Yeah, the process thing, it makes you feel better because you already have to be a better person.
Exactly. So sometimes that's just, you know, you could do that also. It's good for relations. If you're really angry at someone, scream and get it all out on somebody else, on your good friend. And then when you're with that guy, you can be nice. Because you got it out. The main thing is to get it. It doesn't matter who, as long as you got it out. That's another beautiful advantage. If he'd voted, okay. Fine. A few more things. It actually is proven to boost your immune system. Oh, as it does gratitude. So journaling helps boost your immune system. It helps resolve conflicts, as we mentioned. It helps you gain clarity. Instead of screaming at the other person, you gain clarity as to what needs to get done. That's what we've got some... These guys are angry, and then Trump... I don't know who that guy is. Is that...
Erdogan.
Benny Gantz? Is that... I don't know who it is. Maybe, but they seem angry. They should have just journaled, and then everything would have been solved. And finally, I wanted to talk a little bit about goal journaling, which is what we've been practicing. And there are many advantages to writing goals on a health level. It helps you to feel more healthy, helps you succeed more professionally, financially, and personally. All of these things have been proven statistically to be advantages that come from simply planning. Those people who plan their life, plan their day in the long term, are much more successful than those people who don't. I think I have this written down, these stats somewhere, if I haven't. One second. Oh, here. Solve problems, getting it out, resolving disagreements. Neurologically, we spoke a little bit. Better liver function, lung function. Oh, it helps the person develop a story, a coherent story. Everyone needs to have a story. When you write it down, it kind of makes sense out of what's my story in life. This is a study I wanted to show you guys from Dominican University, 149 participants. And basically, some of them just thought about their goals. Some of them wrote their goals down. Some of them made action plans. And some of them made commitments. Some of them had weekly progress reports. After 4 weeks, they rated their progress. And group 5 achieved significantly more than the rest of the groups. 5 is the ones who had reports and someone accounting for them. And writing your goals down was number 3. Simply writing down your goals improves your chances by 42%, even without an action plan. Action plan is the best, but if you don't have a plan, just writing it down helps people achieve their goals. 42%, that's pretty amazing. And they had another long-term study where those who set goals and never wrote them were earning twice as much as those who never set any goals. So before they went into the business world, years earlier, people wrote down their goals, and the people who wrote down their goals were earning double as much. That's amazing, amazing. So let's see, 10 times as much, but that's hard to believe. But in any case, a lot more. So why not? It's a lot less effort. It's not such a big deal. Write down your goals, and fine. All right, that's a few studies that I wanted to mention. Very good. Very good. Okay, so now let's get to tachlis, practical. So what's the mission of this week? I'm going to make one the mandatory mission and the one the super fun mission that you should all do, but you don't have to, okay? The mandatory mission is Everybody here has to do gratitude journaling. You hate journaling. Don't talk to me. We'll find another way. Fine, maybe you go to this. But in general, I would love for the next 5-6 weeks of this course to develop the practice of gratitude journaling. Okay? You are going to be guinea pigs. By the way, even after the weeks are over, months later, even when people stop gratitude journaling, there are still many positive effects of gratitude journaling because they already trained their brains to be more optimistic. So, that is the mission of this week. I'm going to make it simple. There are many different studies about how to make this most effective. What works best for me is to write a list of 5 things. And once a day, it could be before you go to bed, because that helps you with sleep. It could be write it in the morning. You could do it more than once. But once a day, minimally, to write down 5 things that you are grateful for. And I would say even grateful to Hashem. I am thankful to Hashem. Connected to Hashem is even more powerful than just being grateful. Okay? That's the mission of this week. And I am hoping that by next week, we'll already feel like our life is more optimistic. And certainly after doing this as a practice for a long time, our brain will get more and more and more optimistic. Okay, so that's the minimal. Remember we said that I'm going to try to make these missions as easy as possible. And the one who wants to do more will do more. Okay, that's the easiness. Now, some suggestions based on studies by Robert Emmons about how to make gratitude journaling the most effective. First of all, invest in a book. Invest in a journal. Pay 15, 20 shekels. It's worth it. The fact that you already paid 20 shekels to do it will make you actually want to do it more. Okay? Second, do it at a specific time. I've been urging you guys to do that over the week. Don't wait. Have a specific time every single day, and then you won't forget to do your daily goal. You do it at the same time. Third suggestion, try to look for surprises. Don't just say, I am grateful for a tree. I am grateful for my family. Try to get specific and try to actually actively engage your brain in looking for surprising things that you didn't expect to happen. That's why it's nice doing it at the end of the day. Like, oh, I didn't expect to have, such a nice time at the shiur or whatever. That would be ideal. Okay? Fourth suggestion. The more details, the better. You want to make this really powerful? Write a lot. Really make it fun. Take 15, 20 minutes. Don't just write a list. If you want to just check it off the list, so Keith won't be mad at you, say it. So just do the check, 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 and you're good. It's better than nothing. But if you want to really like tap into the juice of the joy of gratitude, the more you write in and go into detail, the more your brain will actually feel the flesh of the joy. Number 5, people are more effective than, talking about people in your lives is more powerful than just things and stuff. Brings more joy to your life. Number 6, this is from a study by Sonia Lumbransky. When you tell yourself before you're studying, and I can send you guys these tips if you want later, but when you tell yourself before you're studying, I am actively engaging in gratefulness, I want to feel the joy, I want to feel connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it makes it more powerful. Number 7.
What was that?
When you remind yourself, you're not just doing this to get this over with, but you're doing it to feel gratitude, to feel joy, to feel connected to Hashem, it's more powerful, much more effective. Okay?
Remind yourself of purpose.
Remind yourself of the purpose. Exactly. Number 7. Do it with a friend. Do it with an accountability partner. Okay? Do it with your husband. Do it with your best friend. Do it with me. If you want. You can send me your gratitude list. I can do it with you. Whatever. Sharing it is what makes it more fun. Okay? So that's why my Shabbos meal is the gratitude. When you share it, it's more exciting and it's a lot of fun. So those are 7 tips. You don't have to do all of them. These are just...
What was the one you said about people when you're right?
Psychologically, usually you... Either an experience or a story or people is much more joy-invoking more than simply saying, thank you, Hashem, for my shoes. Thank you, Hashem, for my family. The more specific, the better. Is basically also what I'm saying. Okay?
Can we repeat things?
You can, but try not. If you can, make it a habit to try to find new things, if you can. Yeah, because then it's more fun. So that's the mission. It's mandatory. Everybody's got to do it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Every day is different. There will be different things.
There's always new things.
Yeah.
Okay, another mission. This is a totally bonus mission. Maybe one, a different week we'll make it mandatory, but it's a lot of fun. So why not? Go to a different person every week. Every day this week. Personally, if possible, or if not personally, over email or WhatsApp, say thank you to someone. Okay? Say thank you to someone. And just see how that improves your joy in life, your social interactions. It could be written, no, it could be whatever you want.
Someone for reason for thanks, or just like...
No, really, it has to be genuine. The more genuine, the better. It could be your mom, it could be your brother, it could be the random bus driver, it could be your tour guide. Whatever, I did this with my tour guide, it was fun. Because I was thinking of something specific to thank him for. That's fun. So that's the second fun goal of Gratitude Week, is look for people to be grateful for.
Every day.
Every day. This is optional, but I think it's a great idea. And there's other ideas you could do to enhance your gratitude.
I just want to thank you for the watermelon. It was really yummy.
You're very welcome. Nobody else can do it. Daniel already did it. You guys have to think of a different one. Very good. Very good. Another shtick you could do. I can send some of these ideas. I have a whole book about gratitude ideas. But you can take a different day and every day watch a different TED Talk about how they make olive oil and how do they make... like, find ways to appreciate different parts of your life. You can make a mission of every day a different scent. Today I'm going to appreciate my eyes. Today I'm going to appreciate my ears. These are all great ideas. I put my hand on my head and I feel gratitude. Like, there's a million beautiful ideas about how to enhance your gratitude. I don't want to make life too complicated. But this is the essence. To just start looking for opportunities to be thankful, even during the hard times. Or maybe even... Dafka during the hard times. Dafka when things are hard. That is our way of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to each other. And I think it's going to be really fun. Questions? Everybody's happy?
Of course there's questions.
There's always questions.
I had a challenge yesterday.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure what to do about it.
Okay.
I'm happy with what I did. I just wanted to run it by. Why are you? I don't know.